This is the Life at Work podcast, an initiative of City Bible Forum. The Life at Work podcast is produced by City Bible Forum. To find out more, go to citybibleforum.org/lifeatwork.
Hi, I'm Andrew Laird, and welcome to the Life at Work podcast, where we meet real workers wrestling with real workplace issues. Today, the pressure to capture the perfect day on film.
I'm really blessed that God has given me the skills and the opportunities to capture these moments, but also, the ability to build on relationships with my clients. I love that I can connect with them on such a deep level.
My guest today is wedding photographer, small business owner, and mother of three, Farah Allen. I'm Andrew Laird, and this is the Life at Work podcast. Well, even with mobile phone cameras, we still all know the pressure of getting the perfect shot to capture that special moment before it passes. Now, imagine that moment is at a wedding and people are spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to make sure you don't miss those once in a lifetime moments. Well, that's the kind of pressure Farah Allen deals with on a weekly basis, shooting weddings across the city of Melbourne. But it's not as though it's all smooth sailing once that job is done. She's the mother of three young children, which means daily life is filled with all sorts of surprising moments. So how does her Christian faith help her navigate these different roles? And who's harder to manage? Is it the toddler or the stressed out couple leading up to their wedding day? We're going to talk about all that and more. So welcome to the podcast, Farah.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for having me.
Farah, straight up, let's go to that question. Who is harder to manage? Is it the toddler tantrum or the bride and groom tantrum?
Of course, I have to say all my clients are fantastic. You know that, right? I mean, let's just stick with the toddlers.
Okay. That's the diplomatic answer. They're not going to sack you.
Well, just in case they're listening, you know.
Look, we'll explore more of your wedding photography work in just a moment. But first, take us back. You didn't always live in Melbourne. So tell us, where did you grow up and what brought you to Australia?
Oh, yeah. So I was born in Baghdad, Iraq. My family come from a small city called Mosul. It's the third biggest city in the north of Iraq. It is known for having a lot of Christians. And from a biblical geography, Mosul is known as Nineveh. Mm. So you'll find more about that in the book of Jonah. And now you know why one of my sons are called Jonah.
Oh, there you go.
And we moved to Australia in 96 through Skills Visa.
Okay. And obviously that was the time of, or shortly after, was it the first Iraq war?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So after the first war, we just temporarily moved to Jordan, and then things weren't, you know, improving. And thankfully, my dad is educated. He studied in the UK as an engineer. And so we were able to come to Australia through the skills visa.
Mm-hmm. So you lived in Iraq during that war in the early 90s. Am I right in saying that an environment like Iraq, it's not one, particularly in a period like that, it's not one that's filled with the sort of beauty you want to capture on film, or was it?
Well, you know, actually, I would say that it is filled with beauty. You know, it would be an absolute dream for me to capture Iraq on film. You know, despite the destruction, there's, you know, so much natural beauty that, you know, still exists. And, you know, contrary to what you would normally see on media, you know, there's beautiful greenery, waterfalls, you know, rivers. Of course, Iraq is also known for, you know, its rich history and architecture. And I would absolutely, it would be a dream. I would love to go and photograph Iraq.
So tell us then, obviously, this passion for photography, where did that all come from and how did it develop?
This is this is such a cliched answer amongst photographers. I learned the basics of photography from my dad. He gave me a a quick rundown on just how aperture and speed work. And, you know, he had photography as a hobby, and so I had access to all his amazing film cameras. And I loved VisCom at school, visual communication, which is sort of like graphic design. And we were able to explore so many mediums, and one of them was photography. And I was able to explore photography from there.
Do you still remember the first camera that he gave you to use?
Absolutely, and I still have it, and I use it. I take photos of my kids with it. Yep, I have a little project that I do, that I take photos of them every month with it. Yeah, and every now and then I'll get a film back, and it's like, it's just so surprising. I just got some back that I took during COVID, and all these memories of being in lockdown just came back to me.
Wow, that is very special.
I'm very lucky that I had access to amazing cameras from such a young age.
So this love of photography, this growing interest in photography from an early age, I imagine there are all sorts of directions you could have gone with that. So why weddings?
Oh, absolutely. To be honest, my parents weren't really that keen for me to take up, you know, photography as a job. You know, being Middle Eastern parents, you know, they just want you to be a doctor or an engineer. So I never really anticipated for photography to be my job at all. I was actually a reporting analyst, or what you'd call these days a data analyst, for quite a few years, 7 years, I'd say. And I was just casually sharing my photography as a hobby on Instagram. It was just the right time, right place, and it was mainly just street photography. I would walk around Melbourne City during my lunch break, and I would just post on Instagram, and it just went viral. And you know, a few of my followers then started sending me DMs asking, you know, whether I would do their wedding, and I said, sure, I'll give it a crack. And it just kept piling on. I just couldn't keep up with my full-time corporate job as well as do weddings on a weekend. And at the time, my husband and I, we didn't have any kids, so it was sort of manageable, but I was also working 7 days. And then after I booked my first overseas wedding, I thought it was really time that I would give photography a good crack full time. And my husband was very supportive of me doing that, because it's quite a risk, you know, to go freelance photography. And I've just been doing it now for over 12 years.
And in those 12 years, could you get a ballpark sort of figure of how many weddings you have been to and shot?
My goodness. Oh, hundreds and hundreds of weddings, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah, because the first few years when I didn't have any kids, you know, I was smashing through quite a few weddings, yeah.
So
I
hundreds
just said yes to everything.
So yes, hundreds and hundreds of weddings. That'd be more weddings than most of us would get to in a lifetime. So you must have seen a few things over the years. I wonder if are there any really awkward or embarrassing or funny wedding stories that have stood out from over the years?
Look, there's been a few interesting situations. I'd say the most embarrassing was I was taking photos and walking backwards at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I tripped over a rock and I fell on my back, and I broke a very expensive lens. For any photographer nerds out there, it's an 85 1.2 lens, probably cost around $3,000 to $4,000 at the time. Thank God it was insured. But it broke to pieces, but somehow I was still able to use it and finish the finish the wedding, because it's just such a heavy piece of glass. I would say that's probably the most embarrassing. And, of course, I was wearing a dress, so that's not helpful, is it?
Oh, right. Hasn't happened since, though, I imagine. You're very careful walking backwards. So you deal with all of these couples. What's the key to getting a great photo of a bride and groom?
Ooh. You know, I'm quite lucky in that I get the chance to get to know the bride and groom at least a year in advance. So definitely getting to know them helps them feel more comfortable in front of the lens. And I do, almost all of them do like a pre-wedding shoot, and that kind of helps them just get comfortable in front of the lens. Mm. And I do have a few prompts up my sleeve that relaxes the couple. Like, I can share one with you if you like.
Sure, go for it.
One of my faves is getting the groom to whisper what he had for breakfast.
Yeah.
In the bride's ear, in a very, you know, romantic voice. So he would say, I had two boiled eggs, you know, and he tries really hard to sound, you know, amazing, but and for some reason, I don't know why, it always makes the bride laugh, and it just gets them, you know, comfortable and, you know, chilled out. And that's obviously, and the other key is, you know, chasing really good light. It's not really about the background as such, you know, you've got to know where the good light is to make the photo look amazing.
Excellent. There's a couple of tips for amateur photographers out there listening. So you spend a bit of time with the clients. I imagine you get to know some of them pretty well. In that relationship that you foster and develop with them, are there ways that you find your Christian faith at work in those situations, in terms of, I guess, both how you treat them, how you interact with them, and maybe even the kind of things that you might speak about with them?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, I do get to know them fairly early on, and you know, like I said, some clients book me a year in advance, so it's a really great opportunity for me to build a relationship with them. In fact, so many of my clients have ended up being friends with me, because it's not just weddings, you know, but what follows on are so many other milestones, like their family portraits, which I, you know, end up doing. You know, I get to be a part of so many of their milestones. And while being involved in these, that there's plenty of room for conversation, you know, especially when, especially like at a wedding, when the bride and groom get caught up in the aesthetics, you know, I'll get an email and say, oh, what do you think about, you know, if we add this to the wedding, like more flowers here or more of this, or, and it's always good to remind them about the importance of marriage, and that should be their focus. Let's not, you know, get too caught up about the details. No one will remember except, no one will even notice except for them. There's definitely opportunity there for great conversation.
And some of them, you know, no doubt at times perhaps a little difficult as well, and maybe even demanding, either both leading up to the day or even after the wedding as well, when you're doing the editing process. So how do you deal with that side of things, particularly when your job is to try and capture the beauty of the moment, but you know, you've got in the back of your mind how difficult perhaps the relationship with them has been up until that point.
I have to say I'm quite blessed. Like, most of my clients have been pretty great so far, especially when they've trusted me and, like, let me guide them through the photography process. When they let me be in control, I really produce beautiful work. The only time I've really struggled is at the beginning of my career, when I was less confident. You know, the client couldn't really establish a trusting relationship. They would, you know, they would try and take control. They'll say, you know, we should do photos like this, or we want to take photos at this time. But now, you know, I'm a lot more confident in how I approach photography, I try and guide them, and I'll say, you know, we really need to take photos at this time. This is, if you want your photos to look whimsical, then we really need to be taking photos at this time. Whereas before, I really let the client take control. I was really afraid of speaking up. So I think I've really grown in that way. You know, obviously the more that you do your work, the more confident you become. And naturally, as you become confident in your work, your clients just trust you and they know that you'll do a good job. Yeah.
That's fascinating to just hear that kind of perspective of yours from behind the camera. So we're going to take a little short break now, but when we come back, we're going to explore with Farah some of the challenges of running your own photography business, but then on top of that, juggling the role of parenting that work as well too. And so, how does her Christian faith help Farah with all of that? We'll explore that in just a moment.
You've heard of IQ and EQ, but what about your EVQ? Grow in your evangelism quotient, or EVQ, so you know what to say and when to say it when you're sharing your faith. It's like IQ, but for your evangelism. Wherever you are in your evangelism journey, join one of our tailor-made programs with your own personal mentor. Find out more today at evq.org.au. Feel alone in the workplace? Like you're the only Christian who understands the challenges you're going through? It doesn't need to be like this. Connect with other Christians in your industry, career stage, or who work near you, and be encouraged and empowered for your life and witness in the workplace. Find out more at citybibleforum.org/networks.
Well, welcome back. Farah, we're going to come to the joys and challenges of running a small business shortly, but you were actually sharing with me recently some of the amazing and actually really touching places that some of your photography ends up. Can you share with us some of those stories?
Several of my wedding clients have ended up using photos that I've taken of their grandparents or even parents to use at their funerals. Sadly, one wedding which I photographed in Mexico, the bride wrote me an email to tell me that sadly her father passed away, but she was so thankful for all the photos that I took of her father, which they're using at the funeral. When I read the email, I just couldn't help but burst into tears. The first thing that I did was quickly go over her wedding photos. I just couldn't help myself. And I had this photo that I took of her and her dad that I really wanted to see again because it was just such a beautiful memory. And it was a photo of them doing the father-daughter dance during reception. It was outside under beautiful fairy lights, but there was this big moon, full moon, and there's several photos of them twirling around under the moon, incredibly beautiful, and the guests were all howling at the moon. It was some sort of an inside joke. I didn't understand the howling, but I just remember that it was such a special time for all of their family and for her to be there with her dad. So I just quickly replied back telling her the first thing I did when I heard the news was go over your wedding photos. And I shared those photos again with her because I just really wanted her to know that even the photos that I took of her dad and her impacted me. It's just a really lovely memory that I have of her and her dad, and also because it was an overseas wedding, we'd established such a beautiful relationship. You know, we were there a week before the wedding, and so I really got to know her dad, and we'd had some beautiful conversations. So how amazing that that I could do this, that it's not really just about taking photos, but also building on relationships, getting to know my clients and sharing these beautiful memories. And it doesn't just stop at the wedding, you know, it continues on. So I feel very blessed to be a part of that.
Mm. That's so touching. And when you think about, I guess, the impact that your photos can have on people and the memories that you're capturing that, I guess, come into even sharper relief when they are, in the years down the track, remembering a loved one who was there, who has passed away. What does that mean for you as a Christian that your work is able to provide this for people? Is there a sense in which, you know, you feel like this is a way that I can really love them?
Oh, yeah. It's so incredibly encouraging. I honestly never thought that I would ever be a part of that. I'm really blessed that God has given me the skills and the opportunities to capture these moments, but also the ability to build on relationships with my clients. I love that I can connect with them on such a deep level at the wedding and truly beyond their wedding as well.
And so there's almost this beauty in this sadness of some of these moments, as you know, look back on them. I wonder how your Christian faith maybe helps you think about beauty, especially in those sad times of life. Is there a sense in which knowing Jesus helps you define what is truly beautiful in a moment?
Yeah, it makes me feel very grateful for this life that, you know, God has given me, you know, thankful that Jesus died for me on the cross and for giving me hope. But yeah, just also how special that I get to witness the love between families and, you know, in times of joy, like a wedding, but also in times of sadness where we celebrate a person's life. And I truly believe, you know, I do so many different weddings of so many different cultures and races. I really do feel that, you know, God is present in all of these circumstances, and it's beautiful to be able to witness that. So I feel quite blessed.
Now, Farah, it's not just taking photos for you. That's in some ways just a small part of the job. There's the whole other side, which is effectively running a small business. Tell us, what are some of the particular challenges that you have found over the years in doing that? And are there, again, particular ways that the Christian faith has helped you in those challenges?
Look, when you're running a small business, you really do have to wear so many hats, you know, whether it's sales, marketing, accounting. And if you can't, you know, if you can't afford to outsource, then you have to do the lot. And that can be quite stressful. It's time consuming. It's almost like having another child, to be honest. My business is my, you know, fourth baby. There are months when, you know, my income is absolutely fine, and there are other months it can be quiet, and that can be scary for a small business. It's not a consistent stream of income, and you know, in those times I really have to lean to God, you know, and have faith that He will provide. You know, I can think of Matthew chapter 6:25, you know, where it says, you know, do not worry about your life. And you really have to have faith that and trust in God in those times when the income is uncertain. And that's just the natural, it's the nature of running a small business. That's definitely challenging.
Alongside all of that as well, as you said there, you're parenting also. You've got three young children. How has God been growing you, perhaps, as you work through the challenges of running a small business and parenting children? What are some of the things He might have been teaching you?
Oh. Oh, we certainly don't have it perfect in our family, you know, and we've just added a third child. He's 6 months, and you know, we're learning how to navigate it all. You know, God's been teaching us, you know, how to be patient, how to communicate with one another, and you know, the hardest of all is making sure that, you know, work isn't in the way of our family, you know, having a balance between work and quality time with our children. I'm sure so many people can relate with that. You know, and when you're in the thick of parenting and working, not to forget that God needs to be, you know, at the center of it all. So we're just navigating that at the moment. One of the things actually that I really love that we're doing as a family is every morning we're doing Bible study with the kids, and it's such a small thing, but that is the only thing that I'm really feeling like we're getting right. And yeah, because our work is just, you know, I'm working nights editing, and I'm also working weekends, and so it's, and everything just is just chaos with three kids. And so this is the one thing that I'm really loving that we're doing at the moment as a family.
And just kind of having that there, I guess it's obviously such a nourishing thing for you as well, to be able to point to that and look to that as being, you know, a really significant part of the day. Farah, one final question. Is there a piece of advice or an encouragement that you could give other Christians listening to this who might feel particularly alone in running a small business, as you say, you know, handling all of the pressures of it for yourself? Any advice or encouragement that you could give someone like that?
I would say it would be great to surround yourself with, you know, other Christians who might be also running a small business. You know, just send them a message, have a coffee. You're right, it can be quite a lonely thing to do, running your own business. But, you know, surround yourself with like-minded people, and don't be afraid to reach out, ask questions. And one of the things that I think people need to also know is it's totally okay to fail and learn from your mistakes. It's not spoken about enough, particularly in Australia. You know, I think we feel a lot of shame when it comes to failure when you're running a business. So, you know, if you're having bad days, it's totally okay. Pray about it and try again. So that's my little advice.
Farah, so much wisdom there, and also just some fascinating insights into the world of photography, lots of things that I didn't know before. So thank you so much for sharing all that with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew. It's great.
Well, look, that's the final episode in this season of the Life at Work podcast, but we certainly don't plan for it to be the last. Already thinking about what's ahead for season 4. But while you wait, make sure you go back and check out previous episodes you might have missed. There's lots more great stories of real workers wrestling with real workplace issues. But until then, I'm Andrew Laird, and you've been listening to the Life at Work podcast.
Enjoyed this podcast? Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing and leaving a rating so others can find us too. Join us next time on the Life at Work podcast with Andrew Laird.